I'd like to invite the older members of our congregation, well, the non-like children members of our congregation, to go ahead and have a seat. And I'd like to invite my Episcoposse up here, all ye wee Episcopeeps, my Episcobrood. If you're like eighth grade and below and you want to come here and sit crisscross applesauce with me for our children's sermon, I invite you up. Beckett, you're looking so fly in that jacket. Please don't leave me hanging. All right, Stuart, thank you, y'all. Feel free to have a seat here on the floor. Usually I'd sit with you, but Pastor Travis has a little bit of a hitch in his giddy up at the moment, so I'm going to stay seated in this chair. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to begin by asking you guys, how many of y'all have broken a bone? Yeah, Stuart. Okay. How many of you have broken multiple bones? Stuart, wonderful. You are setting this up so perfectly for me, my man. See, I've got this theory that there are two kinds of people in this world, those who break bones and get stitches and those who don't. And I think those who do break bones break them early and frequently. Stuart, I think you're a bone breaker. I most certainly am a bone breaker. I'm sitting in this chair because I dislocated my hip, my left hip, about 2 weeks ago. I took a bad spill at the village. 2 months ago, sorry. And on this same left leg, I dislocated my knee about 15 months ago. And I fractured my tibia fibula on this same leg twice about 15 years ago. I'm not a safe man. You're right, Ellie. I was gonna say maybe this says something about my relative lack of skill as a downhill skier or my lack of an ability to exercise self-restraint in spicy terrain. Regardless, I've been injured multiple times out on the ski slope, and I was kind of thinking about this week, and I started thinking to myself, when was the first time that I had a major injury? I'll tell you the story. I was 7 years old, and I was with my mom in a grocery store, and I'd actually just come from the doctor's office. I'd gotten my one-year checkup, and we were in the grocery store, and my mom, in her sort of like sweet, like typical mother way, was trying to give me a kiss on the cheek, and because I was a little bit rascally, I was trying to rebuff her advances, and I was like, no, mom, you can't kiss me, and so I closed my eyes and started running away from her down the aisle. I was laughing, it was all fun and games, until boom, I was brought back to the present moment by the sound of my forehead slamming into the shopping cart of some sweet woman who was about my grandmother's age and who looked totally traumatized as I stared up at her above the front of her cart. That was not nice what I did. You're right, Sims. It was not very intelligent either. And I remember two things about that day. The first thing I remember is how weird the world looked through this sort of waterfall of red pouring from my forehead. And then I remember going back to my doctor's office and how they had to give my mom smelling salts to keep her from fainting. Do y'all know about smelling salts?
No.
They're like this super stinky chemical that keeps you from fainting if you're feeling lightheaded. So I remember my mom was like so concerned to see her baby boy there getting stitches. And then I remember my mom took me home and she made me so cozy and comfortable. She wrapped me in blankets on the couch. She cooked me my favorite dinner, which was, of course, breakfast for dinner. She put on my favorite movie, which, of course, was Indiana Jones. And she made me feel so loved. And I was thinking about that love, because today, of course, is Mother's Day. And I was thinking about how a mom's love is such a unique and beautiful thing. How, like, moms have a certain kind of love, and dads have a certain kind of love. And it's really amazing. Y'all, I don't know if y'all have heard me tell this story, but do you know that my earliest memory is from, like, you haven't heard me tell this story? Thank goodness, Sims. I'm glad to hear it. This was, do y'all know, I've told this story in church before, but I remember the day I was brought home from the hospital. That was my earliest memory, I promise you. Even though my brother and my parents say there's no way I could possibly remember this day, I remember I was born in the middle of this big storm in Houston, Texas, a hurricane, and I remember my mom holding me in the hallway. All the power had gone out, and my dad was staring out into the rain saying, when is it gonna end? And I just remember my mom holding me so cozy and tight. I remember then about 18 years later when I got this letter in the mail from the college I most wanted to go to, and how when I ripped it open and read that first word, congratulations, my mom let out a, ah! She was so happy for me. And I'll tell these older congregants, I remember then about 10 years later how as my mom lay in her hospice bed, she reached a hand to my cheek that was soaked with tears, comforting me even on her last days on this earth. Y'all, a mom's love is such a special thing. And dad's loves are super special too, but we don't talk about mom's love all that much in church because we've sometimes had this idea that like God is a father figure up in the sky. I want to do an experiment with y'all real quick. Close your eyes for me. And I want you to imagine what God looks like. Try to picture what God looks like. One more second. All right, open your eyes. What does God look like? What do you see?
He has a white beard.
What else? You got that too, Beckett? He has a white beard. Anyone have like a picture of God that's a little bit different? Yes. Yeah, what's yours like, Stuart?
He looks kind of like you with a robe, but with white hair.
He's definitely a he. He's got white hair. I'm sure I'll get there one day. So a lot of us do have this idea that kind of just gets like passed down in our church family that like God is a father. But what's so interesting, like we describe God that way a lot, but actually if you look at Jesus's life in the Gospels, most of the way that he loves people is in like a very motherly way. He's very caring and very nurturing. And if y'all just like pause with me 1 second, because I want to tell the adults something really nerdy real quick. So there's one of my favorite thinkers, this guy Carl Jung, who was one of Freud's students, and they broke over the question of religion. And what Jung would say is that the mother's word is always yes, and the father's word is no. And what he means by that isn't just that like moms say yes all the time and dads say no. It's not like that moment in Wheels on the Bus when it's like the mama's on the bus say shh, 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 and the dad is on the bus say I love you. It's not like that, which is like very unfair and gendered. But what Jung means is that the mother's love is this all-affirming, nourishing presence. The mom's job is to make the baby feel safe in this world. And the father's love is about boundaries and limitations and about trying to show the kid how to survive in a world that's often unsafe when they're away from the mother's presence. Just a little side note. So a lot of times, I mean, God is both of these things to us. God has this father-like love for us and mother-like love. But if we look at Jesus's love in the Bible, it's a very mom-like love. Like there's this passage today that Christy read for us a couple minutes ago, and Jesus is having like his last hang with his friends. He's with his crew for the last day, and he's basically telling them like, look, I've been this amazing caring presence, keeping you safe, keeping you protected, and that's what I want you to do for each other. Make yourselves feel like you're part of one big family. And if we look over the course of Jesus's ministry, that's what he's always doing. Like there are these moments where Jesus has to like go away and rest in a deserted place by himself. And like the way I imagine it, it's kind of like a parent who's been rushing around, taking their kids to school and to sports practices. And then they're like, okay, I just need like a minute to myself. And they withdraw and take a little moment. And then all the crowds come to Jesus and they ask him to give them something to eat. And it's kind of like Jesus as this parent is like, okay, I'll make a snack for you. And so he takes the loaves and the fishes and he multiplies them and he feeds everyone and makes sure everyone's taken care of. Later, just a little bit after this story that we heard read, Jesus is in the garden and he gets arrested and he makes sure that all of his friends are safe and he goes with these soldiers and goes and gets arrested. It's not a true story when God gets arrested. You know, that's a little bit of a rabbit hole to go down. We'll address that some other times, just you, me, Sims. But I want to tell you, my favorite story about Jesus' like mama-like love, it's when he first walks into this town called Jerusalem. And he walks in, it's in Matthew's gospel, and he looks at the town, and I imagine him sort of like reaching his arms out, and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. city that rejects all the prophets. How I would have loved to gather you to me the way a mother chicken gathers her brood beneath her wings. So Jesus even describes himself as if he's a mother hen. He's like, that's the kind of love I have for y'all. It's just like a mama chicken pulls all our chicks together and keeps them safe under her wings. That's the way Jesus describes his love for us. Yeah, Sims.
You know that you aren't up in heaven, so that's why you don't know what actually is happening in heaven.
That is such a good point. I'm actually getting there. I'm not in heaven, so I don't actually know what's happening in heaven. That's true, because we're all here trying to do our best with our minds. We're making up a story. Yeah, we're trying to follow the information that our heads and hearts are giving us in describing who God is. Yeah, Beckett?
What if you go to heaven and you find out there's no heaven?
Oh my gosh, that's a real existential conundrum. Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Shower thoughts. We'll get into that in confirmation class one day. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to do an experiment. Because Jesus describes himself in these like motherly terms, I've been thinking to myself, how different does it feel in my heart if I think of God as a mother instead of a father? So here's what I want us to do. I want you to raise one hand in the air. Raise one hand up. Yeah, y'all can do this too. And if you're comfortable doing so, close your eyes. And put that hand on your heart. And I want you to imagine that you're talking to God as if God is a father. God, this father figure who gives you protection and guidance and security and who teaches you things. Hey, Dad, can you take me on a hike? Can you teach me how to tie my shoes? Just rest in that sense of God as a father. Now I want you to put your other hand on your heart. Keep your eyes closed. And now think of God as a mother, as that nurturing, loving presence who's just always saying, yes, 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 I love you. Say, hey, Mom, can I have a hug? Can I just sit here on your lap for a little while? So you can rest in that sense of God's motherly love, and you can open your eyes if you'd like. And what I want to say to you is that both of those ways of imagining God are absolutely fine. God is so big that God can hold all of our ideas about who God is. And sometimes we might want to talk to God like God's a father, that sort of protective, guiding presence. Sometimes we want to talk to God as a mother. Sometimes we could imagine God as just like spirit or something like that. And no matter what, God isn't a
mother.
He is a father. Okay, you're pretty set. So that's a help. If that's the way you want to imagine God, Sims, that's absolutely fine. Some people might find it helpful to imagine God as a mother sometimes too. Both of those are totally fine, and here's why. And this is going to be like a little bit nerdy for the parents again. God's a mother too? Exactly. All right, we're getting there. So I'm going to say one more nerdy piece of theological information for the parents, and then I'm going to tell you all a really cool story about my daughter Helen, and that's going to bring us home. And Mary, that's a father. We're just getting like very, very complicated and complex here. So let me tell something to the parents real quick. Have y'all noticed that every Sunday after the sermon, we all stand up and we say a bunch of words together? Yeah? So when we do that, that's called the Nicene Creed. And the creed is like a statement of what we believe. And I'll tell the parents that like I kind of think of the creed as like a theological MVP, like a minimum viable product. Like what happened in like the 320s, a bunch of bishops got together and they're like, hey, what's the very most basic thing we can agree on about who God is? And there are statements about God the Father, statements about God the Son, and statements about the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if y'all have noticed this, but sometimes people in this church, including your clergy, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we say she instead of he. And that's because the language of the creed is a little bit mysterious and ambiguous. Did y'all know that in the biblical languages, in Hebrew and Greek, and also in the main theological language in the West, Latin, there's like one word in each of those languages that means spirit and breath and wind. And in Latin, the word is spiritus, which is a masculine noun. In Greek, it's pneuma, which is a neuter. So it can be sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine, depending on the context. And that's what we have in the Creed. And in Hebrew, the oldest language we have that's biblical, the word is ruach, which is a feminine noun. A feminine noun to mean spirit. So what I want y'all to know is that it's always okay to describe God in whatever way feels like we're able to connect with God most beautifully. But the most important thing is that God is always here to connect with us in love, to bring us close like that chicken bringing her chicks together. I want y'all to hold tight real quick because I've got one story I want to tell you about sweet Helen, my little daughter. Y'all know Helen, right? Yeah. So Helen's 2 years old, and she's so wonderful and exuberant and so, like, weird at the same time, which I absolutely love. This last week, she's insisted on wearing the same pink sequined tutu every single day, and she puts a turquoise sweatsuit on top with the hood on, and when you throw the purple rain boots on as well and the inevitable sort of like residue of a snack that's like rubbed on her cheeks, she kind of looks like she's been following the Grateful Dead for a little while, which is like absolutely charming and hilarious. And Helen, as a two-year-old, she's like learning all these cool tricks and new skills all the time. So she's constantly saying, look at me, look at me. But what's so funny is when my wife, Gracie, her mom, isn't in the room, sometimes she'll still like default to her way of calling out to a parent, and she'll say, look at me, mama, look at me, mama, even if it's just me in the room. And then sometimes she'll realize it's me, so she'll say, look at me, mama, dada. Or if it's both of us together, she'll say, mama, dada, look at me, mama, dada. And it's such a beautiful thing because, like, of course I'm her dad, biologically, but sometimes I also have to like embody that kind of mom-like love for her. Sometimes all of us have to do that for each other. Sometimes we have more of like a dad-like love, sometimes more of a mom-like love, and God has both of those loves for us as well. So feel free to address God any way y'all want, and just remember, God is always trying to bring you closer into relationship with the Holy Spirit, with this God that loves you and wants you always to know that God is here for you. Sound good? All right. Thanks be to God. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mama Dada Day. Amen. All right, y'all. Feel free to go back to your parents.